At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Future-proof extra from News Talk.
Now, when we think of flies, we generally think of nasty things. Pestilence, death, decay, loud, irritating and dirty little insects with no redeeming qualities whatsoever. They're probably close to the top of the things people have absolutely no problem with decimating. But are we doing flies a disservice? Is there more to these insects than meets the eye? Well, Dr. Erica McAllister is Senior Curator of Diptera and Siphonoptera at the Natural History Museum of London and author of The Secret Life of Flies and the Inside Out of Flies. She joins me now. Welcome to the programme, Erica. What makes, are there specific things that define what a fly is?
Yes, indeed. There are some very obvious diagnostic features that we look for that we could say, absolutely, that's a fly. And when I say this, I mean, we're talking about the adult stage, because this is the bit that's the most visible to us, that house fly buzzing around your lampshade, etc. So the first thing is the adults have suctorial mouthparts. So it's not like a beetle or a grasshopper. It can't chew on you. So you can't really be bitten by a fly. You can be sucked or sliced, but not bitten. Then there's the obvious thing, what makes a fly, it flies. So it's got one pair of wings. Unlike the butterflies and moths and other creatures that have two pairs of wings. And instead of that second pair of wing, it's changed, it's been modified over time to become a halter, which is a balancing organ. And this development has enabled them to be some of the best aeronautical engineers out there. So those three features are what makes a fly, but as I amusingly giggle at quite a lot, it's like they've taken the blueprint of what means to be a fly and lots of them have disregarded it. They just don't have, some of them don't have wings, some don't have halters, some don't feed as an adult. It's just like they laugh at you. That's what they do. They're very clever little creatures.
So in this category of fly, what sort of common names would we recognise? Like would a mosquito be a fly?
Yes.
As well as a green fly?
Ah, green fly, no. Now, this is the problem with common names. And the easiest way to think about it is if the word is one word, it's not a real fly. So dragonfly, green flies, mayflies, all of those aren't real flies. But a real fly would be a house fly, which is two separate words, or a hover fly, whatever. However, I'm telling you this, and I know that this doesn't hold with all the cases and there's lots of sloppiness. So you will get some mix-ups.
Okay, so then give me an idea of the sort of flying things we're talking about.
So you know crane flies, which some people call daddy long legs.
Yes.
Midges, mosquitoes, gnats, house flies, then you get horse flies and all of that sort of variety.
What do they eat?
Everything. They're so, even if they don't as an adult, as a larvae, they basically can feed on everything. There's some flies that feed on petroleum. There's flies that feed on, I know, shoe polish. You name it, they can get in it. Some of them feed on the insides of a camel's nostril. They have such a lot of just vegetarian. Some like rotten fruit. I mean, we as humans like rotten fruit. We tend to imbibe quite a bit of it. And they are very, very similar. So you name it, they can eat it.
But they don't eat, they don't have a mouth, as you say.
They have a mouth. They do have a mouth. But as an adult, it's more of a liquid diet. So we would know the great drinkers in the mosquitoes. So the female mosquito is the one that requires a blood meal. And only at a specific time, because when she's nurturing offspring. So for the eggs to develop, she needs this blood meal to kick it in. So she's just been a nice mother, that's why.
No, but you may try to get me enamored to any sort of species of fly, but if you start talking about mosquitoes in a way that is fond, you're just will not have me on board. So, so are there in particular flies that are of particular interest to you? Are there some very unusual flies that do unusual things?
Oh gosh, all of them. I've got a sponge when it comes to people telling me facts. I love them. So one week's fly will be a different fly, you know, each week. But I have a real soft spot for basically all the bitey stabby ones, because I mean, who doesn't? And within those, it's the larger brachycerans. So these flies are what you would think about as robber flies and the bee flies and the horse flies and those. So chunky, robust flies. But within the robber flies, I love these because these are venomous flies. Now, we tend to think about venomous insects being the bees, the wasps, the ants. But there's a whole group of neglected species within the flies that are equally venomous. And in fact, their venoms are new to science. And we're only just beginning to really research all of these venoms. So it's something about these like amazing aerial predators that are highly venomous that what's not to like?
There's a very, very rare fly, isn't there? The Marmotto Meyer Hirsuta.
The terribly hairy fly. This is refound by my boss, actually, and he's terribly excited about it. And it doesn't look anything like a fly, really. It's bright orange. It's got tiny vestigial wings, and it's found in a very specific location in Kenya, like the edge of a cave. And they feed on bat guano, so bat poo, there's stories of them swimming around in it. And they've only found it, I think, three times. And we have a huge collection in the museum, which is it's tiny. You know, it's less than 50. So that's how, and it is so, they tried for years and years to find this fly again. So it's very, very rare. But then you could argue, so that's amazing, because that's in Kenya. But Scotland, there's an endemic fly. It's only ever found in Scotland, up there at the Coolings. So you don't have to travel far to find marvels with these flies.
Why do you think we don't like them so much? Why do we hate flies? Is it because we associate them with decay?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, and it's because they hang around us. So the ones that we're so used to are the anthophilic species. These are human-loving species. And the reason is we're covered in filth ourselves. We are smelly, we are dirty, we are grimy. We live in dirty, grimy habitats. I'm not making any comments about lockdown and our standards of hygiene. But we are, you know, we scatter food everywhere. I've got compost heaps and things like that. So they come to us because we're a really good source of food. And in doing so, they may act as mechanical vectors. So they may transfer disease. So, for a long time, we have only thought about those species of flies and gone, ugh. But we've got to start looking more than just those species of flies. So the hoverflies in your garden. And a lot of people just look at the hoverflies and say, oh, look at the pretty bees. And it's like, they're not bees, they're flies. And we've got to start paying attention to them.
How important are flies to the way we live?
Oh, hugely. So even the bits that people hate, the decomposition, if you got rid of flies, can you imagine what it would be like? You'd be swimming around in a quagmire of feces and there'd just be dead bodies everywhere. So we need them to clean up.
What do they do? How do they do that then? For example, they eat it. But what do they secrete?
Well, they defecate afterwards, but most of the time it's very, very small because they're really efficient energy converters. In fact, they're so efficient that we're starting to eat the larvae ourselves because they are just protein packed at this point. So those little maggots crawling around on a compost heap are actually quite useful, and we're looking at ways that we can use them to feed us and our livestock.
No, we're not.
We are.
I'm not in that we. I'm in a different we.
You're in it. You've eaten loads of insects, whether you like it or not.
I know. I have. Even on purpose for this show, I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
I think. We're eating. I've got loads of products in my cupboard. Insect products that we.
They need to work on both texture and odor for that to work.
Well, that's what they're doing. They're making it into flour, which is a good idea.
Yeah.
So you can have insect pasta.
Yeah, I've eaten a tarantula once, and that wasn't.
Ooh.
That wasn't great.
I had some red ant gin once. That was exquisite.
But wouldn't it have been just as exquisite without the red ants?
Oh no, it's a really nice kind of spicy red currant flavour associated with it. Gorgeous.
Are we using the abilities of the flies in science at all? Are we studying flies or their behaviours to help us in things beyond mere anatomy and biology?
Oh, yes. This is basically what, with the inside out of flies, I not only wanted to talk about the morphology of the flies themselves, but how they've inspired us. And bio-inspired products is very much the fore nowadays. And from their mouth parts to their flying mechanisms, from their vision, all of these we're turning to actually develop our own technology. So the mouth parts of mosquitoes, because you hate it, the fact that this little mosquito is taking blood from you, and you only know afterwards when you have that irritating itch. And that's because afterwards that's a reaction. But the mosquito is able to pierce through your skin without you knowing it. And so they've looked at the development of pneumatic needles based on that vibrating mechanism of the mouth parts to enable to penetrate your skin much much less force than we're traditionally using in needles at the moment.
Hmm.
So it's lovely how we can throw something that we previously see or is detrimental to something very positive.
What about in the way they decay? Did I read something about flies, like CSI folk are sticking larvae in dead bodies to see how long decomposition, so they can sort of time a murder or something?
So forensic entomology is not a new thing. Using insects to help crime, solve crime, has been used for thousands of years, over 1,000 years. It was first used in China and then kind of drifted till the 18th century when the French really got involved. And then we started understanding which insects turned up at the scene of a crime and which ones, how long they took, etc. And on my desk at work, I have a little jar of maggots from the first forensic entomology case that was successfully prosecuted in the UK, which is really exciting. I know. What do you have on your desk? I have a jar of maggots, obviously.
I have some 1980s golf ball chewing gum confectionery, a small tub of mini bubbles from Tesco, and lots of burnt matches. And I don't know whether that probably says a lot about my state of mind at the moment.
Yeah, see, mine has a chicken's head with fleas eating the eyeballs, some quite a lot of different types of maggots, some mosquitoes, you know. And, well, I would say that lockdown has changed it, but I don't think it has. But so we've been using it, and it's really interesting because a fly is able to sniff out a corpse from a long way away. Even if you bury the corpse, a fly can sniff it out. In fact, some flies, they will go 6 foot or more, so that whole buried 6 foot under. And the females, in doing so, she rips her wings off to enable her to bury through the ground to access the corpse below.
That's terrifying.
That's a fly for you. That's a mother dedicated to providing the best habitat for her offspring.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, you've certainly made me warm to what they can do in other places. Whether or not I'll ever be comfortable with the fly buzzing around my environment or with a mosquito in the air, and I've horrible memories of being in a bathroom in Argentina and walking in and realizing it was filled with mosquitoes. I don't think you'll ever win me over to that, but it is fascinating, the sort of culture of flies you've introduced me to. Erica McAllister, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.